o'clock.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Oh, I looked at the run sheet today, MG, and one name jumps out at me.
Oh, yeah.
Merv Hughes.
Yeah, big swerving. What a man. What a character.
The bus conductor. What was the West Indians referred to him as the bus conductor? Because he looked like one.
He is he's a fantastic character. I've been lucky enough to do a few speaking gigs with Merv over the years. And he, something about the cricketers all have fantastic stories. Wow. And we're lucky to have him on Triple M.
He is part of the Triple M cricket lineup for the Ashes this summer. Can't wait to speak to Merv. We've also got to look at this weekend of horse racing, MG, because there are group ones everywhere this weekend.
The Derby. I'm coming around to you, okay? It's the Derby.
It's the Derby.
That's the Derby.
The Derby is very, very
English?
Posh for you.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just always called the local Derby.
You might get in trouble on the streets of on Jamison Road if you start telling people about the Derby.
Mate.
No, actually, what am I talking about? Listen to what you just said, Liam. MG's going to be fine. Producer Charlie's itching to get in. We're going to be playing some blankety blanks. But let's talk some rugby league off the top.
What's cracking?
Big Nelson Asofa-Solomona at time of discussion. Will not be getting a COVID vaccination. And this has a huge impact for the Melbourne Forward because while the NRL has said that it is not compulsory for NRL players to get the COVID vaccine, they are attempting to set up protocols so that unvaccinated players and vaccinated players can play in 2022. The state of Victoria, Dan Andrews, has said that professional footballers, regardless of code, must be vaccinated if they wish to work.
Yeah, and I think that we will be something close to that by the time the NRL is up and running again for season 2022 because at the moment, unbelievably, Nelson's the only one in Melbourne who has refused to. So obviously for his own reasons, but clubs have been told to designate separate eating and bathroom areas for players who are yet to receive two jabs. And look, they've been warned also, the clubs, that against tearing up contracts of unvaccinated players for at least 4 weeks. So that's the caveat, at least 4 weeks. So they're going to figure something out, the NRL and the governing bodies of all sporting entities. And I dare say that we won't see any players partaking in any league if they're not double vaxxed.
Well, but the situation for Nelson is that he's contracted through to the end of 2023, okay? But the Storm, I believe the Storm go back to pre-season next week.
Yeah.
He can't participate. And at what point, where's the line in the sand for the Melbourne Storm?
More so for Nelson. Where's the line in the Storm for Nelson? What, until when money stops coming to his bank account?
And this is what I'm curious to know is, do you think the Storm, would the Storm be within their rights to say to Nelson, we're not going to pay you? A Ben Simmons type thing for not turning up, you know?
Kyrie Irving, yeah, type thing. Oh, look, I think it's out of their hands. The Victorian government has kind of said this, as much, and this is what we spoke about, you know, last week with the vaccination, to jab or not to jab, and that's, you know, no jab, no play in the AFL, and I said, well, I think the NRL will be very close to that once we get back into the season 2022.
I imagine that Peter Volandis and Andrew Abdo will be discussing the situation, the case study that
for
is
sure.
Nelson Asofa-Solomona today in their offices. Now, the other thing we need to talk about off the top, MG, is the Dolphin effect. Because we've discussed this at length, the marquee targets that this new 17th team in the NRL will be looking to target. We've been told Harry Grant is off the table. You've thrown up names like Cam Munster and Kalyn Ponga. Reid Marnie is another one that's been floated. But it seems now we are seeing other clubs start to kind of protect their interests and you know, form a shield in the form of a contract around their key players. The first one, Manly, want to extend Daly Cherry-Evans until the end of 2025 so that he's not wooed by his boyhood club.
Yeah, look, I read about this morning and I get it. He wants to be a one-club man. He will be 36 if they do that. I think if any player can play until that age, I think DC, he was very resilient as a rugby league player. Mm-hmm. Doesn't miss many footy games. Yeah, look, I think a lot of clubs, Liam, with superstars in their team and with Queenslanders in their team who are Origin players have been dancing at shadows because everyone's a target. Everyone's a target because it seems to be every Queenslander who has played Origin in the last 12 months, his name has been mentioned as going to the Dolphins. So the Dolphins are They better be a good team.
They've upset.
They better
the
come out swinging.
They've upset the apple cart already. So you're in favour of Manly going to those lengths to protect Daly Cherry Evans.
I think so. I think DCE is one of them guys that you, because what he adds to the club. I think not just as a player, Liam. I think he'll make a really good coach one day.
Well, and that's the plan is to bring him into the coaching staff once he does finish playing. And obviously the lure for him with the Dolphins, Redcliffe, the Cherry, and the Evans, the two sides of his family have got such a rich history with the club. So it's a big carrot there. So, okay, you're okay with that. What about the Dolphins' plan of attacking Tino? Big Tino for Sumalawi, the 21-year-old.
Leave him alone. Leave him alone.
4 year, 3.3 is the report.
Well, I know Wayne Bennett wants him, and he probably is on top of the list, I would say, as far as forwards go. Look, the Titans have offered him a $3.3 million, as you say, extension onto his deal, and why wouldn't they? This kid, you can build a team around. He's 21. I'd even give him the captaincy. I'd make Tino captain because he's so inspirational on the footy field. Once you got over that little dust up with Payne Haas in Origin, we kind of thought, this kid might be a bit of a hothead. But in the last year and a half, he showed real qualities. He showed qualities that a captain shows on a rugby league field. He plays big minutes. He's always trying his guts out in the footy field, and I love the way he plays. He's one of my favourite players, Tino Fasua-Mala'awi, and if I was the Titans, I'd be doing the same thing, Liam.
All right, so we give a tick to Manly protecting DCE. We give a tick to the Titans trying to protect big Tino. I think Wayne Bennett would just be rubbing his hands together at the chaos that causing already in the player
market. How good. He is sitting back in his slumber of his chair with the recliner, the big leather recliner, with his feet up, with his socks on, with his pipe, and he's watching some sport news and having a little chuckle to himself saying, here come the Dolphins.
He's sitting there with one of those detective-style boards with the string linking all the different pieces together. And I guarantee he probably's not even interested in Cherry Evans or for Sumalawi.
No.
The real targets we will not know about until pen is put to paper and we go, oh!
I can almost guarantee one thing. Wayne Bennett will get his men. Whoever he wants, I can almost guarantee that he'll get them.
MG, yesterday we heard the announcement that we will have royalty in the Triple M commentary box for the Ashes this summer. Lord Ian Botham will be joining us, which is huge.
Oh, it's fantastic. He was one of my favourite players growing up. One of the best all-rounders that we've ever seen, if not the best the world has ever seen, and a real character as well. He'll be able to tell some fantastic stories, as will our next guest.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right, because we've got official royalty, but we've also got Australian fastball bowling royalty in the box with us this summer. He goes by the name of Merv Hughes, and he joins us on the line. G'day, Merv.
Good morning, gentlemen, and unlucky not to be a Sir Mervyn Hughes. I should have been knighted.
We agree. Before we get on to the cricket side of it, and all the triple, how good Triple M's going to be this summer. In lockdown, I noticed you got quite fuzzy. Your hair was everywhere. Your beard was everywhere. When you eventually got the cut, you said you went from Bruce Dool to Basho Hooley back to Merv. It was quite a transformation.
Oh, mate, there's nothing to do. So we've been in lockdown, obviously, the last 3 months, so pretty hard lockdown. And to be honest, I just sort of sat there and I thought, well, if I ever shave today, I'll have nothing to think about tomorrow. So I just kept putting it off and put it off. So that's how exciting life was down in Melbourne for about 3 months.
Oh, Merv, the Ashes, they're on their way here, and now we see Ben Stokes is going to be a part of it. The England lineup starting to look stronger and stronger, and obviously the Aussies will go into the series favourites, you would think. Let's go back to your experiences with the Ashes and no doubt the 93 series over there in the UK, where, I mean, you did some damage to your knee long term in that series, didn't you?
Yes and no. I had the option of coming home, I think, after the fourth test match to get myself right, and When you're 3-0 up in an Ashes tour, you just don't want to leave. And by that time, I think I was coming towards the end anyway, so I didn't play too much after that. But it was a whole lot of things, not just the knee. So, mate, getting old, so I was 33, 34 at that stage. So getting a little bit older too. But, mate, wouldn't change it for the world. And that 93, well, that was fantastic. 89 was great too, and the blokes that doubled up on 89 and 93 obviously have got a real special bond.
There's some amazing sporting rivalries around the world, and we've got one just here in Australia with our State of Origin. You know, you've got some in the AFL as well, but this England v Australia, the Ashes series, it's just something you've got to make sure you're there to see it. And you're going to have a front row seat, Merv. What are you thinking? What are you predicting? everyone's kind of bagged this Queensland, this English team. Sorry, I can't help myself, mate.
It's not state of origin. It's not state of origin, Mark. It's the Ashes. Sorry, it's England versus Australia.
Exactly, brother. And look, it's an amazing. You got a front row seat. They said that the English team was a little bit underdone. Now that Ben Stokes is hitting town, does that kind of level them up somewhat?
Yeah, without doubt. He makes a massive difference to their middle order and obviously gives them a bowling option. So once you've got that, someone that bats in the top six and gives you a bowling option. And I suppose a little bit like Ben Green for Australia, he's just starting his experience in at the test level, but Ben Stokes certainly has proved himself and England will be buoyed by that, no doubt about that. And he's coming over and before that was named probably just under a week ago, I was thinking Australia 5-0. And now that he is there, I'm still thinking Australia 5-0, to be honest.
I love it.
Now, Merv, how's your relationship with the Barmy Army these days?
Oh, yeah, they are what they are, mate. Or even if you want to dress up and sing, you go to a karaoke night, don't you? They want to come to the cricket and carry on like pork chops, that's up to them. I mean, I've lost touch with reality, I think.
Now listen, you're one of the most iconic cricketers that ever played the game. You were a larger-than-life character. You had Bay 13 in the palm of your hand. How did that all start? How did the stretching and the limbering and getting the whole crowd behind you doing it? Do you remember the first time you ever did it and noticed it?
Absolutely fantastic. So there's only one thing better than being in the Australian side playing at the MCG in front of 80,000 people. And that's being a Victorian in the Australian team.
Oh, yeah, baby.
MCG. So you'd know the difference in state of origin. When you play at home, the support you get is phenomenal. And when you play away, you just don't get that support. So to have that support, absolutely fantastic. And any Victorian in the Australian team that played a one-day or played a Boxing Day test match, they will tell you just hairs on the back of your neck, just stand up. And now you take a wicket, the cheers just a little bit more than if, say, Craig McDermott or Bruce Reid took a wicket. So you know the crowd's there. You know they're right behind you and you really want to turn it on for them.
Well, speaking of people receiving...
Goosebumps,
yeah,
baby.
That was exciting, wasn't it? Good. Speaking of people receiving support from their home state and their home crowd, how do you feel about your captain during your career, Alan Border, finally getting a statue that will be unveiled before the first test at the Gabba?
Well, it's absolutely fantastic. And I actually got a phone call to do a lunch up in Queensland to raise support, to raise a little bit of money for it. And it's just phenomenal that he hasn't had a statue at every test venue in Australia. he was absolutely fantastic with what he did. He was an inspirational leader, led by example, wouldn't ask any of the players to do anything he wouldn't do himself. Yes, he had high expectations. And when he first started as captain, the Australian team were pretty ordinary, weren't they? So just after that 85... South African tour, just after rebuilding from World Series cricket in the late 70s. And he came into it would have been tough going and just made himself into a fantastic captain. And what he did for Australia just set the foundation for what the players are now achieving. And him, and I've always said this with Bob Simpson and Laurie Sewell, who was chairman of selectors at the time, did a fantastic job. And any accolade that comes Alan Border's way, for mine, just isn't enough. You could never do enough for him.
Yeah, well said. And you mentioned some special men there, and I concur. What a great man AB is. I've been lucky enough to do a few speaking gigs with him, and such a humble man for a bloke for what he's done. But back to the Aussies for a sec, Merv. What do you think? Who's got a star for us this summer for us to get that 5-0 that you're predicting?
Well, obviously the bowling group, Stark, Hazelwood, Cummins and Nathan Lyon are a big part of it. And the side's virtually settled apart from two, an opening batsman and that number five. So there's plenty of guys putting their hands up and doing a little bit of commentary work now during the Queensland-Tasmania game. So to see Joe Burns get amongst the runs, so he's throwing his hat in the ring for that opening spot. Piskowski, we don't know whether he's going to be fit or not. Marcus Harris is making runs in the second innings against New South Wales up in Sydney at the moment. So there's a couple of guys throwing their hands up for that opening spot. And the number five spot is a real interest to me. So Usman Khawaja gets another 100. He's in the mix. Travis Head has started the season with a bang. And, you know, so there's got... there's options there for the selector. So if you're a selector at the moment, the last thing you want to be doing is thinking, who the hell are we going to pick? The best option is to be thinking, who the hell are we going to leave out? And that's what it's getting to. So that makes the Australian side looking to be a pretty strong side.
Well, it's going to be a very strong side in the Triple M commentary box as well, Merv, with yourself
alongside
Mark Taylor, Ian Botham. Now, Merv, just before we let you go, November, the month is upon us. It starts on Monday. How do you feel when you see all these people start growing lip fuzz during the month of November? As a man, you know, who sports it 12 months a year, what does it feel like for you?
Well, I think it's great that people jump on board for a month, but if you're fair dinkum, well, you keep it for a year, and it's all about men's health, isn't it?
It is.
What we've got to understand is that men's health isn't 1 month a year. Men's health is all year round, and that's why I keep my mate.
Right. Well said, brother.
Well
hey,
said.
You're a legend, buddy. We can't wait to hear your dulcet tones on Triple M, my man.
Beautiful. Merv Hughes going to be a part of the Triple M commentary lineup for the Ashes this summer. Can't wait to hear you.
Cheers, MG. Cheers, William. Thanks very much, guys.
Revel in the spirit of the Melbourne Cup Carnival October 30 to November 6, vrc.com.au. This is the Rush Hour Melbourne Cup Tipping League.
The horses are on the track.
And this is it, MG. The Racing Tipping League starts this weekend. If you haven't already signed up, go and do it right now. GiddyUpFlemington.com.au, or you can head to the Triple M Win page for all the details. Essentially, all you need to do is pick horses. If you pick the right horses, you could walk away with $2,000. This is, you're not betting, you're just tipping winners. It's like footy tipping, except for the horses. And it starts this weekend. Victoria Derby on tomorrow at Flemington. MG, show them how easy it is. Pick the winner of the Derby, please.
Well, I've been perusing the form. It's a great race, just over 2,400. I can't go past the favourite, Gunstock, trained by Mick Price and Michael Kent Jr., but the jockey who's been in good form lately, Jai McNeil, I think he will get it home. And good race, but I was down there about 5 years ago, and it was a fantastic day. It's just Melbourne comes alive, and it's great. Do we know how much of a crowd will be there with a question without notice for you?
I believe they're going to be allowed to have about 5,000 people there.
Okay. Well, that's something. That's something. So, yeah, I'm liking Gunstock. Who do you like?
Oh, I like Gunstock as well. I think that's a consensus pick for the Rush Hour.
Great minds.
Great minds.
Gator and Tony Brassel. That's us.
Great minds. That's a consensus pick. But I will say one thing. Yeah. As I look down the form guide, number 14, Raging Bull. Now, if that turns out to be actually Gordon Tallis,
it will be.
Then I'd be backing Raging Bull. Because he'll Brett Hodgson the horses. He'll pick him up by the reins or the bridle or whatever, and he'll toss him over into the infield, and he'll waltz the distance claiming victory. So
you can imagine him in the mounting yard before they get on the horses with the other jockeys and say, get away. Get off the
horse.
No,
he'll have a man on his back.
Get off the horse and run. And don't come back. He'll be the only one racing. Bang.
You can revel in the spirit of the Melbourne Cup Carnival October 30th. That's tomorrow all the way through to November 6th. vrc.com.au. Make sure you join in the tipping league. You can walk away with $2,000. Almost time for us to get out of here, roll into the weekend. Oh, MG, I know where you're going to be all day tomorrow. Just perched on your couch with the guy clan around you, watching the big day of racing, aren't you?
I am. I've ordered some hors d'oeuvres from Murray Sandwiches, and the best sandwiches in the West. And I'm going to have some beer, some wine, and some soft drink.
Producer Charlie's joined us in studio now. Producer Charlie, do you reckon he's paying for those sandwiches that he's just given a plug for on air?
I don't think MG pays for anything in Penrith.
Oh, come on, man. Come on. I'm put back into small business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure you do. Your own small business.
Yeah. Producer Charlie is in, so we do this.
Oh, yeah. Favourite segment of the week.
Favourite segment of the week. Blankety Blanks, producer Charlie, has sporting sentences with blanks in it that MG and I need to fill in. Play along. If you're listening, play along.
Play along. Yeah. All right. Merv Hughes we had on earlier, boys, and he's obviously the king of the tours for cricket tours.
Yeah.
What are you saying? What word are you saying?
The king of the tours.
What's a tour?
What's a tour?
That's
a tour, mate. It's
what do you
tour.
Say?
Tour.
I say tour.
Because there's a U in it.
Well, what do we say? We're saying the same thing, aren't we?
Tour? You're saying tour, as
you're
in like
tour.
I tore a hamstring.
Like I tore my hamstring, yeah.
Well, tour.
His parents are English. His parents are English, so cut him some slack.
He can't say the word.
Blank. Let's go for a tour.
Is the one cricketer you want to go on a tour?
He can't say it.
He can't say tour. Say two.
Two?
Tour.
Tour.
Yeah, but now
tour.
Make it short.
No, tour. I can't say it.
It's French now. No, it's French. Sacre bleu. And then tour.
All right. Which player do we want to take go on tour with, MG? Cricketer?
Cricketer, yes.
Okay.
Past, present, whatever.
I think Merv would have been top of the list, big time. Look, I think someone like Mark Waugh. Mark Waugh is one of my favourite persons. I love him as a sportsman. I think he'd be a great bloke to tour with. Dennis Lilly, back in the day. I think Andrew Simons. I'll say Mark Waugh, Junior Waugh.
I'm going to say Andrew Flintoff. I know it's very unpatriotic to go with a pom, but
mate.
Andrew Flintoff just strikes me that he would have been and would still be a lot of fun to go on a bit of a session with.
The winner of the Golden Eagle will be blank.
Private Eye, they're watching you. Top weight, 650 paying at the moment. Nash Rawilla riding it, so look out for Private Eye.
Who would I be to bet against a horse on? Who would I be to be on Triple M and bet against a horse called I'm Thunderstruck?
Oh, yeah, wow.
It's the favourite, I know. But
that's okay.
A, I don't know about horse racing. B, it's called I'm Thunderstruck.
Boys, down at Darling Harbour today, they've put up, I don't know if you guys seen Squid Game, but the red light, green light girl, the doll.
I love that movie.
The giant one is down there in Darling Harbour right now. But I want to know, blank would win the NRL's version of Squid Game.
Oh, this is an excellent question, Charlie.
It would be someone like...
Because it would have been Cam Smith.
Yeah.
It would have been Cam Smith.
He would have figured out a way.
He would have spoken to the bad guys and talked them into letting him through to the end.
Oh, 100%.
I think Nathan Cleary would be good at it.
Yeah.
He's quick over 10 metres.
Damien Cook. Damien Cook will win the NRL Squid Game.
I'm going to say the Fox. He'll just sprint out. He won't even wait for green light. He'll just go red light. He'll go bang.
That's the problem. You get shot.
Yeah, but he'll beat the bullets. And that was a spoiler too, by the way, if people haven't watched it.
Hey, look, if you haven't watched it yet, that's on you.
Liam said to me about 3 months ago, if you haven't, what's a series you want to watch in lockdown? And I watched it in 4 hours. I just kept watching it. It's amazing, the Squid Games. Yeah. Get it in there. Don't worry about what LeBron James says.
Probably not suitable for children. If you've got kids.
Oh, yeah, let your kids watch it. Come on. Bit of fun.
Well, you can let your kids watch it. They're all over, they're all, you know, 14 and up.
Man, I used to play the swear game with my kids when they were six. So come on. You got to show them the world
how
early.
How do you play the swear game out of curiosity?
Okay, you're allowed to swear for an hour when mum's on here.
What? We should do the Rush Hour swear game hour.
Special podcast.
And then they keep looking at the door. His mum coming home? No, just swear. Go on. Gets it out of their skin, out of their system.
Finally, boys, obviously yesterday we made radio history by making Josh Alloway's walkout song an instant classic.
One vote. Osho Olay, one vote. Osho Olay, one vote. Osho Olay, one vote. Osho Olay, one vote.
I want you boys.
I dare you not to dance.
Yeah, you can't. I want you boys to pick each other's walkout song if you were doing a fight.
Okay, who's
so
going
pick
first?
Each other's.
Who do you want to go first?
Well, I'll go you.
Okay, you go
We
first.
Did have a bit of time to prepare for this one. Charlie gave us the heads up because we wanted to get the audio. Now, MG, you've actually done this before. What did you walk out the first time you had a fight?
I walked out to Pep Benatar's All Fired Up.
Good one. Feels rugby leaguey.
Yep.
I'm going a slightly different tack. Similar vein, though. And this is a cover. I'd want you walking out to the cover version of the original, which was by Johnny O'Keefe. This one, a little bit of Aussie flavour, a little bit of English flavour.
I'm a real wild one.
Oh, yeah. Imagine you walking out with this.
And you're in a cut-off sleeve hoodie, Mike Tyson style, but you're bouncing. Yeah, I can feel it.
I've got the hand flicking because the nerves are in. Twitch going in the eye. We're going, let's go.
And you're and whoever you're fighting has already left the ring at that point. Yeah. They're going, no, thank you. None of that.
I've got a special one for you, Charlie. We worked on this earlier. Charlie, press the button, please. This is your workout song. Coming out of the red corner, Liam, right said Fred Flanagan.
get my head punched in.
And now, when you get in the ring, you just rip off the t-shirt once you get in the ring.
Just bang. Show them the six pack and just go, yeah, you ready? Let's get rolled.
The first hurdle to that, there's a couple of hurdles to that for me because I don't think I've got the, I don't think I can pull that song off, frankly. Thank you. And secondly, I think I'd struggle to rip the t-shirt off myself. So
you need the stripper pants as well.
You know what? You'd lull the opponent into a false sense of security because he'd go, what's going on here?
What is going on here?
And then you jump in the ring and just go, bang. See it, mate?
Punch him in the shins.
Charlie, that was exceptional.
That was very
son.
Good, Charles. Well, the only downside being, what's that word again? T-O-U-R?
Tour.
Oh, no. We're going to have to work on that.
Tour.
You say tour.
We're going to have to work on that.
There you go.
Tour. He got it. That's it.
That's right. It just feels wrong to me. My whole life, no one's ever picked me up on this, and I've said tour in front of people plenty of times.
Oh, no. Harry Kane. That's your Harry Kane coming out in your beat.
MG, we got to go. Say your goodbyes.
Oh, what a great week. Well done, boys. He's Charlie. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.